When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the show. Coming up, we'll hear from University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. 1 hour of Hurricanes football talk and a really good show. Mario Cristobal will be along here momentarily to look back at Virginia Tech and look ahead to the California Golden Bears. Hope you're ready for a late night 10:30 kickoff. Our broadcast is going to begin at 6 p.m., but a 10:30 p.m. kickoff. I think this might be the latest that Miami has kicked off since Don Bailey Jr. played Notre Dame in the Japan Bowl. I'm going to have to ask him. I think so. At any rate, that's what's coming up. Mario Cristobal will be on the show. Also coming up, Xavier Restrepo and Elijah Arroyo. Two guys having great seasons. So Restrepo and Elijah Arroyo will be joining us. They've been fabulous. They'll do a good job on the show. You'll hear from offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson and defensive coordinator Lance Guidry, and our analyst tonight from the ACC Network is former Florida State quarterback E.J. Manuel. He'll break down Cam Ward, what he likes about Cam Ward and the Miami offense. That is all coming up on the show tonight. But first, what a memorable night Friday night was. One of the more memorable Friday night games. Maybe we go back to, Miami played Florida State like in the early 2000s on a Friday night at the Orange Bowl because of hurricanes and beat them. This was a wild encounter at Hard Rock Stadium on Friday night, and this is the way it sounded.
It is football time in Miami on a Friday night. Kyle Lowe will kick it off. Johnson and Lyle back deep looking to do something with it. And we are off from Hard Rock Stadium. Arroyo goes in motion. There goes Ward in a pump and go. Fires for Arroyo along the sideline. He's got it! A juggling catch down to the 20-yard line. Inside the 20, he's down to the Virginia Tech 18-yard line.
That'll get the Hurricane fans feeling better.
They score touchdowns 67% of the time. Ward to the air. Looks. Fires. George got him! Touchdown! Jacoby George! There's a flag down at the 10, but George, 8 yards deep, has a touchdown, and another flag is down in the back of the end zone. Ward fires a touchdown.
That was the slant play that we were talking about in the pregame show. Cam Ward comes up, reads the safety's depth, knows that Jacoby George will be there.
Ward under center, turns, play fake. He's going to throw deep. Yep. Got a man wide open. It's Arroyo. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. And he's into the end zone. 4 touchdown. 43 yards. Miami hoodwinks Virginia Tech on a 3rd and 1. And Miami takes the lead 13-7 over the Hokies. And they are jumping up and down and all over each other at Hard Rock Stadium. 55-yard field goal. Snap is down. Kick is on the way. It's traveling. It's traveling. It is good.
How about that?
Borregales answers from 55 yards.
We got a leg to Virginia Tech.
Borregales gets Miami on the board. 27 yards off the left hash mark. Good. No, it's a fake. It's a fake. And they don't get it. Yes. It stops. They flipped it to the Gosnell, and Miami denies them. Perhaps a game-changing play. Maui Noah comes up with a big play. St. Germain was in there, I believe it was the holder. They flipped it to the tight end, and Miami denies him.
From the snap to the holder to the flip of the tight end as he's crossing the formation. Big time play by Miami.
Horton is the motion man. Ward to throw. Look out. Gets away from one. He's going to run. He's at the 5-yard line. 4-3-2-1. Touchdown! Touchdown! Cam Ward runs it in from 17 yards out. It's a moment of Cam Ward magic, and Miami is right back into it. 27-23 with 2:18 to go in the third quarter.
I say if Ward is a highway, we should ride it all night long.
Ward, his eyes dancing left and right, takes the snap. Steps up in the pocket, going to run right up the middle. He's at the 15, he's at the 10, he's at the 5, steps out of a tackle, and gets down to, let's see where they place him, at the 5-yard line, maybe the 6. First down for Miami, first and goal. Ward's doing it with his legs tonight. Ward takes the shotgun snap, going to throw for it. End zone, caught, touchdown. McCormick makes a two-handed catch underneath the goalpost. Cam McCormick with a second touchdown reception of the year. And the Hurricanes are back in business. Hokies 34, Miami 30 with 8:40 to go and the PAT coming up. It's a 6-yard touchdown from Ward to McCormick. Hokies are 7-for-11 on third downs. They need 7 yards with 8:11 to go in the game. Play of the night for Miami at home, Hard Rock Stadium, in their orange jerseys. 34-31 Hokies. Drones takes the snap. Here comes the pressure. It's deflected and incomplete. It's a 3-and-out. Miami got a hand on it. It was deflected, but it was deflected at the line of scrimmage. The biggest play of the night. You need your best play right here. Ward in the shotgun. Martinez in the backfield with him. Fourth down and 3. Here they come. He throws. Oh, what a catch by Restrepo. He caught it. He fell down and he caught it on his backside. He was on the ground. He reached up and snagged it. What a play by Restrepo. It looked like it was going to be an overthrow, and Restrepo just saved the day. He was on the ground and caught it for a first down. Can Miami find one of those 20-plus yard plays that has defined the season so far? Ward takes it off the left hash mark. Here comes the pressure. Gets away from one and flips it out. It's caught. Bradley Williams has it at the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. He is down to the 2-yard line. Bradley Williams down to the 2. I don't know how Cam Ward did it. He was in jail. They had him trapped. They had him going to the ground. And somehow he was able to will the ball out. And he tossed it out with 2 hands and shoveled it over to Bradley Williams, who takes it down to the 2-yard line. Ward is in the shotgun. 2 yards for Paydirt. He takes, he looks, he throws. Caught! Horn's got it! Touchdown! Touchdown, Miami! With 1:57 to go in the game. The Hurricanes have their reward. Cam Ward to Horton. 2 yards and a touchdown. And there is sheer Hurricanes delirium at Hard Rock Stadium. 1 minute and 4 seconds. The clock is running. 103, 38-34 Miami. They've got the ball at their 41-yard line. 1 minute to go at Hard Rock Stadium. Hurricanes by 4. Hokies trying to win at the death. Here's Drones to throw. Looking toward the sidelines. Now middle. Being chased. Mezzador has him. Down he goes. Mezzador got him. One of them reached out. I think it was Mezzador got him.
It was Mezzador, Joe. He stretched out his arm and yanked him to the ball, to the ground.
38-34, 3 seconds to go. The last roll of the dice for Virginia Tech. Drones takes, drops, looks, still looking. Fires for the end zone. It is juggled around. It's still loose. And it is. Who's got it? Who's got it?
Come on, Rex.
Isaiah Horton comes away with it.
He got the ball.
Did he get it? Touchdown! They're going to rule it a touchdown. They're going to rule it a touchdown.
What?
They're going to say Virginia Tech's got a touchdown, and they won the game. Anguish and agony for Miami. They're going to say Felton caught it. It's going to come down to a review. They're going to say the 6'5" Felton caught it. So it all comes down to this.
The previous play is under review.
Virginia Tech runs off the sidelines, but it's not over yet. It's under review.
After further review, the ruling on the field is reversed. It's an incomplete pass.
A winning moment for the University of Miami. And the crowd is going absolutely wild with joy, jubilation, and relief as the lid has come off of Hard Rock Stadium. Absolute jubilation for Miami and devastation for the Virginia Tech Hokies, who just got a spear through their heart and played a magnificent game.
I think I'm still nervous. It's 5 days later or whatever, and I'm still nervous. They should have ruled incomplete to start with. But hey, that's just me. And Jerry Magallanes. Somehow, some way, our dear friends from the ACC find a way to add more drama. At any rate, Hurricanes are still undefeated. They are ranked 8th in the country. We'll play California. We look back at Virginia Tech and look ahead to Cal with head coach Mario Cristobal.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Mario Cristobal Show. Joe Zagacki alongside Don Bailey Jr. and, of course, University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. And this week, the Hurricanes are on the road for Hurricanes After Dark, late night football, whatever you want to call it. 10:30 p.m. kickoff from California, from Berkeley, California. At any rate, Canes are coming off a gigantic win against Virginia Tech. Moved to 5-0, and coach, oh man, a lot to chew over from that game. I don't even know where to start, but somehow, some way, you found a way to win that one.
And at the end of the day, all that matters is how it ended. And it ended with a W for the University of Miami. And like we mentioned earlier, proud of our resiliency and even more proud of our humility in approaching the film and assessing what we got to have to get better at.
Coach, you've been around here a long time, fortunately for that. And you have as well been around football your whole life. And I would tell you that without a doubt, I think I saw the greatest effort play I might have ever seen is when Elijah Arroyo made a tackle on an interception. And I think he started at the -3 and made a play on the opposite 16-yard line. And I don't know how you angle yards, but it was a ton of yards. And he walked it down and made a decision when it happened to make the play.
It's the best effort play I think I've ever seen. And going with that, it was probably the most impactful play of the game as well, because instead of them getting 7 points or settling for three, we end up stopping them and then stuffing out the fake field goal. And it was just insane effort. I mean, that guy, if you will, he got on his giddy up and he just started going. And it was probably the best piece of footage we've ever shown our team over the past couple of years. They absolutely digested the importance and how effective and impactful awesome effort can be.
The sidebar note on him, he's also number one in the ACC in yards per catch, 24.7 yards per catch so far this season. This game, as I mentioned, there are a lot of talking points, but I guess if we zoom forward to the fourth quarter or the second half, you had to have something special happen. So you went 89, 70, and 57 yards. You needed exquisite execution and some great plays, and you got all of it in those three drives.
Well, I mean, it's when we play to our standard, we're very effective. We're very productive. We had some lapses in the first half, and I think it was very obvious to everyone in that locker room at halftime is that we are playing against a really good team, and we've got to play to our standard to make sure we come out of this thing 1-0.
Another huge play was the attempted fake field goal that Virginia Tech had. Campbell really blew it up. I don't know that that got noticed as much, but Malik Bryant had a big part to do with that, but also he had a heck of a day himself.
He did, and a lot of credit to Anthony Campbell. I mean, the way he blew up the guard and made that tight end skip over a step. Malik got great penetration, got the tight end on the ground, and we ended up taking the ball and going on the field and scoring. So a huge turning point in the game.
You tried to warn people all week long that Virginia Tech was a very good team. And so on top of their talent, they came in with a bit of a chip on their shoulder, 2-2. They wanted to play with the Hokie pride that they've had in their program. And so they came in and gave a great effort.
Well, the number one thing we put at the top of the board offensively in terms of goals for the week is no turnovers. Cannot turn the ball over. And we did that three times. We did it to start the game off. And that changes everything. And we're very fortunate. And we're fortunate that we have that type of resiliency where no matter what happened, we just kept playing. And that's been the key to our season. We just keep playing. It's a four-quarter game. You can turn it as long as you keep playing. But we certainly create our own issues, and those are things that going forward cannot happen if we want to attain the goals that we've set out for ourselves.
But, Coach, as you mentioned, a lot of the issues were self-inflicted, but the University of Miami did not buckle. I mean, this football team gave you a legitimate full 60 minutes, and it took full 60 minutes. That's a big accomplishment over what's happened here in the past.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to recognize the fact that you're playing against a very storied program in Virginia Tech, and that team's not going to tap. They're just not. You know, the tap happens when the clock says 0-0-0. Some teams have tap buttons, others don't. That team doesn't have a tap button. So you're going to have to go with your very best all the way to the end. And that's what our team did and found a way.
Let's talk about Isaiah Horton for a moment. He has the game-winning catch, and he has 36 catches this season, 36 career, 22 this year. But then he goes in and plays defense for you. And he's heavily involved in the last play of the game. And kind of like a basketball player, he not only does he leap, but he's just trying to rake that ball away. He doesn't stop.
Yeah, no, he's a tremendous athlete, a guy that we've mentioned a lot, especially as of late, because of his commitment to development, has turned into great production. I mean, he's like on that kind of a trajectory right now. And the fact that he went down there, that's his first real live rep
right.
at doing that. We've repped it, we've practiced it, but you can never simulate what that really feels like and what it looks like. So the great job by him, the rest of the defense.
Wesley Bissaint, six tackles, but all over the place. And you've been talking, you know, you and I talked in the preseason about how you expect him to grow, and he's on a growth spurt.
He really is. That second down play he made to force third down right before we got the ball back on the winning drive is a great example of elite linebacker play. When he takes on the tackle, gets hands on him, knocks him back, sheds the blocker, that makes a tackle for no gain. That led to a longer third down play that eventually got us the ball back. So, but Wesley's been showing that all year. He's taken another step in his development and his level of play. And again, he's just getting started.
Can you take us through the last sequence? You're set up in your Hail Mary defense. You kind of throw them into a spot where they have to throw the Hail Mary, or maybe almost could bait them into trying to run for it. But you had all the guys out there in the right spot.
In the right spot, you know, you're rushing through and you got a spy. The back leaks out and he's part of their display design as well. So the linebacker's got to take the back. And then the guys underneath are playing man, and we got three deep so that the safety can lean to whatever side the ball is going to be thrown to. And so that's the way we chose to play that and, you know, found a way to get it done.
Coach, the ability to overcome double-digit deficits multiple times in that game, what does that tell you about your preparing this football team week in and week out?
Well, you know, I want to give credit to the players. I mean, we push them hard. I mean, this is a program where, I mean, you come here because you want to be a part of a team that's on the rise, a team that's going to settle for nothing except, you know, elite levels of play on the field and elite performances off the field. And so we push them hard. And it's not for everybody. So to see them have their work validated this past month has been awesome, because it should only inspire you to just work harder and do more, you know, and it should also wake you up and let you understand that, hey, brother, you know, yeah, we got to win, but we can be better and we need to be better. And the teams that really focus on that, that focus on getting better, are the teams that are going to be there at the end of November and early December.
There are so many plays, two others that jump out, make it kind of bunch it together here. Restrepo makes the catch on the ground. That's a great effort. And then Cam Ward turns into Houdini. But Riley Williams is pretty alert and perceptive as well to be in the right spot and take the ball and go.
Well, the perfect example of redeeming yourself, you know, because on that play, he's in protection, him and Francis, and we get beat. We get beat in protection. But they both stay alive, you know, and Cam's able to sling the defensive end off of himself, and Riley gets up off the ground and stays alive. And Cam, you know, Cam's always going to try to keep plays alive and extend them. He gets it to Riley. Great job with the stiff arm. You know, actually almost threw like a fake stiff arm to the air, thinking the guy was right behind them. And what's really important, too, that it gets lost, a lot of guys would probably reach the ball out to score. Unless it's the last play of the game, you don't do that. You know, he did exactly what he's supposed to. He secured the ball. He got as much as he could. He tried to get in the end zone, but secured the football. Because so many times you see that ball extended, knocked out, and it goes the other way. So really proud of his effort.
Andy Borregales a 56-yard, I believe. 56. And I think now he has the guts to lobby you for a 65 after seeing that kick.
And maybe more.
And maybe more, right?
Yeah, just phenomenal. Great job by CJ and the kickoff return team to recognize the squib, because it changes their sets and it changes their angles. And instantaneously, when the ball was squibbed, they turned, planted, and got leverage on their defenders. And it gave CJ a crease, and he almost housed it. You know, he almost housed it, and but it got us close enough to throw a couple plays in there. Got the pass interference and got us within range. Want to get a little bit closer, but with 5 seconds left, you're running the risk of trying to get a quick play and still getting the clock stopped. So we went with Andy and got it done.
You had to call on. It was like on defense, all hands on deck, right? Mm-hmm. Because there were live injuries, a lot of plays. Long game, sweltering night, guys are going in and out. So this was a game that was defensively a lot of different guys contributed. Even Markeith Williams had to play most of the second half at safety.
Yeah, we got a lot of guys banged up. You know, Jalen Alderman wasn't available for the game at linebacker. Jaden Harris went down. You know, we had the multiple defensive linemen go down as well. And I mean, it is what it is. You can boohoo about it or get the next guy up in there and go get it done. That's why we practice, and it's why we practice the way we do.
One guy that gave you all hands on deck was Michael Irvin. And what was it like having a playmaker on the sideline? And he came in the locker room. I thought he needed an IV.
He needed shoulder pads and a helmet is what he needed and a playbook. Look, when Michael Irvin gave one of the most impactful talks to our team, maybe the most impactful talk to our teams, him, Ray Lewis, Andre Johnson, Devin Hester, John Vilma, these guys have all taken time out of their crazy schedules to come and address the team. And these things hit home. You know, they're such a huge part of everything Miami. And to have him there, it's, come on, man, that's one of the big reasons why we came here was, you know, it was the only real deal brotherhood in the country. So it's really cool to get that generating, you know, some more juice again, you know, some hands-on, just eye-to-eye, face-to-face, actual contact, and it was awesome having him there.
All right, more from Mario Cristobal coming up momentarily, but first, do you enjoy world-class customer service? Is that what you are looking for? Because certainly, I think anytime you go into a business, you want to know what kind of customer service you're going to get. And if you want to be treated like family, if you want to be a part of a loyal client base, if you want to be treated like a friend or a neighbor and go to a business that's been around for more than 50 years, then may I suggest Williamson Cadillac. And if you are in the market for a new vehicle, how about Williamson Cadillac? Cadillacs are arriving every single day, which means Williamson is sure to have the new Cadillac you're looking for. Hey, the holidays are right around the corner. Before you know it, we're going to be talking about the holidays and you'll see all kinds of information about new vehicles. Well, go in today and experience Williamson Cadillac's preferred atmosphere. Easy to find Williamson Cadillac on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. Before you go, you can check out all of the inventory at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. I'm driving the XT4. It delivers the wow factor. It's turbocharged. It's got great acceleration, fuel efficiency. It surpasses all expectations. Perhaps you're looking for the CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, or the all-new electric Lyriq. They are all at Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac, your luxury dealership, located on US 1, just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac, Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
This week, the Hurricanes go to Berkeley, California to take on the Golden Bears of Cal. They are 3-1. This will be the fifth meeting between Miami and Cal. The last time they met in Berkeley was a long time ago, 1990. Last time the two teams played was in a bowl game, the Emerald Bowl, in 2008. Game day is going to be there, so that sends my antenna on alert. And I'm sure your antennas tingling as well on high alert when they ESPN ships game day out there and all that stuff?
Well, I think it's a credit to their program, a credit to our program to attract that kind of attention. It's certainly an honor, but there's not a single person on a broadcasting crew or anyone sitting in the stand that's going to make a play for either team, right? It's going to be about practice and preparation and then going out and making that game day reality. So the focus has to stay on the main thing. We're looking forward to an unbelievable opportunity.
Coach, their quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, coming off a 300-yard game against Florida State 2 weeks ago. They had an off week last week, but you know him, the family's a local kid, but they're very impressive offensively, but I was watching some of their defense. They're even more impressively in my mind on the defensive side.
Yeah, the quarterback, I mean, his father and I were teammates in high school, you know, so awesome family, elite football player. I mean, really doing a great job running that offense, extending plays. I mean, he's hitting just about every ball you want a quarterback to hit, the back shoulder, your shots down the field, making plays on the run. Excellent decision maker. He's got a really good offensive line. Elite running back, preseason All-ACC mm-hmm. running back. His wide receivers are really explosive, really fast, really well coached. Their defense leads the country in interceptions. Mm-hmm. They lead the ACC in turnover margin. I think they're number three nationally, but these guys, they get after the quarterback with a variety of different pressures, and they hawk the ball down. I mean, I believe it's 10 interceptions and close to having another couple interceptions, and really should be an undefeated team right now minus a couple field goal misses.
I was going to pick up on that. They were number one in the country last year in takeaways, took the ball away 27 times. And they're on that pace this year, already 11 takeaways to 10 interceptions that you mentioned. Bill Parcells used to say, you are what you emphasize. That must be something in their program, right, where they're trying to find an edge that they emphasize taking the ball away.
Physical and discipline is what they are. They don't get fooled. They don't get faked out. They're very just they know their scheme inside out, and they're very technically and fundamentally sound. And when you combine that with high-level talent, you have great performance on defense, and they've done that at a high level. I think the difference this year is that their offense is also performing at a really high level. And having coached out there at Oregon for 4 or 5 years, you know, Cal was always the team that was the most challenging in several aspects, and it was due to not only the caliber of player they had, but their scheme and the caliber of coaching they received. You know, Coach Wilcox and company have always done a great job preparing those guys.
Coach, the importance that you just keep building depth. I mean, there was opportunities because players coming out last week, but it's something that you set in motion when you got here, is you were going to develop depth, and you challenge your staff and this team every single day about getting the guys in, and let's find out where they are.
Well, just like players can never be comfortable, coaches can't be comfortable. You know, sometimes it's great to, man, look at our guys who are doing so well. What if that guy gets banged up? What if two or three get banged up? So then what's the answer? You know, well, the answer has got to be you develop the guy that's right beside him, right behind them, to come in there and perform at the same level or better, or if there's a drop off, it can't be much. So I think the entire organization has taken that approach in terms of development and growth, and we're seeing some of the benefits of that.
Also, to pick up what you said about Coach Wilcox, they've won. You go back to last year, they won 6 of their last 8 games. They had a pretty good winning streak in there. The wins that included a win at Auburn and wins last year, 3 straight wins to finish the Pac-12 season. And the kid Ott, the running back, kind of takes their offense to a different level, right?
Yeah, they went to Auburn and had a dominant performance. And I think that caught the entire country's attention. You know, and obviously we go week by week in terms of our opponents. But as soon as our game was over on Friday, we turned our attention to them and got to get in a real depth. And, I mean, going all the way back to the games where we used to play them when I was coaching out west. I mean, it was that program continues to have high levels of performance on defense, but now it has taken a massive step offensively, and that's why they're playing such good football.
I think what happens is fans and spectators overlook the fact that it's Cal and or Miami's going out. They've got the same amount of scholarships. They recruit a great state in California, and that's a program that has produced NFL talent over the year. You're walking into a playoff game, and that's what a conference game is a playoff game.
Well, if you look at rankings alone, this is the best defense that we have faced so far. If you look at teams altogether, it's arguably the best team that we've played so far as well. You know, and these guys, you know, when I was out on the West Coast, sometimes the West Coast, you don't get the same viewership from people on the East Coast. But if you look at our team, let's go, you know, by position, our quarterback was a quarterback out there at Washington State, right? Our running back, right, was at Oregon State, Pac-12 as well. Our starting safety, right, was out there at the University of Washington. So there's great football, right, all over the country. And I'm very familiar with that part of the country due to, you know, past year's experience. So we know exactly, you know, the caliber of football team we're facing, and we're really, really excited for this opportunity.
Coach, also interesting to note that their linebackers rock solid. Buchanan, number three in the ACC, 10 tackles a game, but Ulawale was the Pac-12 defensive rookie of the year last year, much like Bain was here, and he's averaging 8 tackles a game.
Well, you're looking at guys that are in the 235, 240 range, like a flat-out run, are really explosive, hard-hitting, physical guys that are, they're very flexible, they're very athletic. They can cover just as much as they can get downhill and splatter the run game. So very impressive on film so far. Those guys are going to present a tremendous challenge for us.
But you talk about Andy Borregales, but let's talk Dylan Joyce. We hope that he doesn't come on the field very often, but when he has come on this year as the punter, he's done an outstanding job.
Yeah, he doesn't get to showcase his talents as much, and that's a good thing.
Right.
You know, and that's okay with us if he doesn't get to showcase in the rest of the season. You know, that's always a good sign. But when he does, he's a weapon. You know, he could flip the field for you. He could pin people deep. He's very versatile. He could punt it right, left, on the run still. I mean, he does a lot, and we're certainly blessed to have him.
Yeah, special teams would be big. I want to get to your quarterback in a minute, but just the sidebar. Their kicker has 47 games under his belt, but he's kicked for Delaware, North Carolina, Cincinnati, and at the FCS level. I don't think he's ever going to leave. He's made 53 field goals. Earlier, you were talking about the guys on your team from the West Coast. Cam Ward did throw for 354 against Cal last year. Damian Martinez ran for almost 100 yards against them a year ago. Does that help at all that they have experience playing against them?
I mean, there's some things you always pick up, and you go back to watch film. There's such a history there, teams playing each other, that you know, they're going to watch some of our film from years past, a different place, and we're going to watch some of the games that, you know, we played against them as well. So there's value in everything, you know, especially when a team, they have a week off, we have an extra day. So I think, I know both sides will dig very, very deep.
It's just freshman class has done a very good job of participating. And Dylan Day has, I watched him on kickoff coverage. And there's a big list to go down, but let's just focus on him. I mean, he has just turned into a coverage maniac. And doing a great job.
He really has. I'm really proud of him. He is an excellent football player, and he is just growing and getting better and developing. He's had a massive impact on special teams. He's joined by Darius Hayes, who's done a great job on special teams. Bobby Pruitt done a great job on special teams. Bobby Washington.
Right.
Man, he's a game changer, you know, for us. All those guys, and then there's more. There's more in there that are doing a bunch of really, really good things. Our special teams is continuing to improve. And I think they're taking a lot of pride in that.
I did want to mention before we go, it was a Friday night game, so not always the easiest to get around town here, but it was a heck of a crowd. Once that game got started, the crowd was there. They created a great environment for you.
Yeah, they rock. I mean, when they show up like that, and then and with that type of purpose and intent, you could tell when you came out the tunnel, they were ready to roll. You know, it's the juice that they bring, the energy that they bring. The way they impact the game is, it's awesome, right? It's what our players love it. They appreciate it and want a whole lot more of it.
Coach, they stayed for four quarters. Now, they were the 12th man in the fourth quarter for the University of Miami. The crowd made a huge difference.
No doubt. They were loud. They were loud. They were loud, and they certainly, we appreciate them so much. We love seeing it, love having them, and we want to make them proud.
My bet is some of those recruits love that passion as well.
They do. Right? They do. They know how important Miami football is. Everybody knows. The whole country knows how important Miami Hurricane football is, and it was great to have it on display.
All right, Coach, the very best of luck against Cal.
Appreciate you.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. We will continue right after this.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, back on the show with Don Bailey Jr., and thanks to Mario Cristobal. Still to come in the next hour, Xavier Restrepo and Elijah Arroyo back-to-back. That'll be fun. Very good information from Restrepo and Arroyo. We'll also hear from the coordinators tonight, Shannon Dawson and Lance Guidry. Shannon Dawson on Cal's defense, Lance Guidry basically on the Virginia Tech game and the last play. And then E.J. Manuel will join us, the former quarterback from Florida State and now an analyst for the ACC Network and on Sirius XM Radio as well, and a South Florida resident. He'll join us, break down Cam Ward and take a look at the Clemson-Florida State game and who are the top contenders inside the ACC. That is all coming up in the next hour. Don Bailey, I think the last time the University of Miami kicked off this late, I think you played in the game. It might have been the Notre Dame game in Japan.
You know, you're probably right, but I don't even know what day that was.
Miami played Arizona State out there. I don't think that was a 10:30 kickoff.
No.
I think the Japan Bowl might have been a midnight kickoff. I don't quite remember. I know it was like in the middle of the night.
I agree with you, Joe. It was the middle of the night over here. I think it was like 11 or 10 or something, something like that. God, what a memory you have, man. My gosh. I know this. We got on the plane afterwards and went right home.
I mean, well, guess what? We're getting on the plane right afterwards this time and coming home.
I know we are, but you didn't have the University of Florida the next Saturday.
No.
We went from Notre Dame in Japan to Florida at the Orange Bowl, and it was all right. We ended up working all right. We ended up beating the heck out of the Gators, so it was fun.
Well, thankfully, you know, we have a bye week. It'll take me, at my age now, 5 days to recover.
I'm hoping for five. I'm hoping it's just five. It's going to be a tough one, but that's all right. I don't care. It's just the best time of year, man. It's the best time of year, so, I mean, it'll be interesting.
Let's talk about this Cal team for a moment. They are 3-1. I'm not sure what to make of them, but I think people ought to respect them. They've won 6 of the last 8, so perhaps they're catching on to what Justin Wilcox wants done in that during those 6 wins in the last 8. Of course, a couple weeks ago, they went to Auburn and won at Auburn, so Miami won at Florida, Cal won at Auburn, and they do it by generating offense from their defense.
They do, Joe. And, you know, the thing that I find interesting about them, they really should be undefeated this year. I mean, they lost a game that was very, very close at the end when they played Florida State 2 weeks ago. And I've spent a lot of time watching them this last couple weeks or the last week, and then I got to take a look at them when they played the Florida State game. I saw some of that as well. And their defense, without question, from top to bottom or back to front or right to left, is the best defense Miami has played this season. And I think what, Coach Cristobal brought up on the show, his show is true, is that people in the East or people in the South, you know, you don't get a chance to see what's going on, you know, on the West Coast of the country. And this is a perfect, perfect example. I mean, you've got a defensive front that's playing the best football in the ACC. I mean, you look at them, they're defensively, they're tops in the ACC in the takeaway. They do everything defensively, really as good as you can ask. And I think that's important to understand what you're walking into. But this is going to be a tough football game, but I think it's also going to be a great game.
They, I would say this, they do not wow you. They frustrate you. They don't make a lot of mistakes. So there's not, I don't think there's a wow factor. I don't see them making spectacular catches on offense. Mendoza makes a lot of good plays. Their receivers don't drop the ball. The running back doesn't miss a hole. The offensive line is kind of a jigsaw puzzle that just fights you on every play. Defensively, if you tip the ball in the air, if Miami doesn't catch the ball cleanly, it's going to be intercepted.
Yeah, it will be. They're going to go after it with that. But, you know, you look at this team, and let's start with the back end. At corner, you got a redshirt senior. At safety, you've got a redshirt senior. At boundary safety, you've got a redshirt senior. At corner, you've got a senior. You go to the top three guys that you're the nickel and the linebacker, senior, sophomore, fourth year junior, redshirt junior. And then along the defensive line, Joe, senior, redshirt junior, and then you've got one sophomore in the starting defense, and one. And this guy's, and he's probably the best player, number 43, McCullough. And that tells you, you know, what you and I believe in, or at least we've talked about for years, is that the older team has a huge advantage. And I think that's why Miami struggled. For aside from the turnovers are obvious, but that's why Virginia Tech put such a good product on the field. They're one of the oldest teams in the country and in the conference. And here you are again, you're dealing with the same thing right now. And you look at the two deep of California on offense. I'm sorry, on defense. And there's only one guy out of the two deep that's a freshman or a junior.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, a freshman or a sophomore. And that's a lot. Same thing you go over to the offense. It's the same deal, the offensive line. Everybody's a senior except for one guy, and he's a redshirt freshman at left tackle or at right tackle.
Yeah, their offensive line, your area of expertise, we'll come back to the defense in a minute, but their offensive line has been, like I said, a jigsaw puzzle. Left tackle has played, I don't know, the left tackle, Morrow, is a former tight end in high school. He's a redshirt freshman. The right guard has moved to left guard. The left guard moved to right guard. So they've kind of moved guys around on their offensive line.
They have, but you're moving guys around that have experience. And you know, you don't want that. You really don't want that. There's no way to, like, paint that picture where it's okay because the best offensive lines have the same guys at the same spot again and again and again and again. And, you know, we got a taste of that last week. Everybody thought that, you know, the Jalen Rivers, you know, well, we're winning without him. We're scoring points without him. Him not being in that football game almost cost us, the game. And that doesn't mean that Bell's not getting better, but that just – Jalen is an NFL prospect today. And you've got Bell is going to be a possible NFL prospect. But you got an NFL guy there today. So, you know, the offensive line, you need a lot of reps, and they're struggling with guys in the same place time and time again at Cal. And that I hope that works out for Miami's benefit.
You know, you mentioned this kid, McCullough, who nobody in South Florida is going to know. And maybe they won't even know him in the game. He wears number 43. But what I find interesting about him is Jimmy Johnson used to say one of the ways that he recruited was he wanted to know how many plays a guy made in high school. What kind of playmaker was he? So he would look at their high school bio. He wanted to know what the guy's resume was, just rather than also looking at tape and seeing him, he wanted to know how many plays he made. So this kid McCullough, you ready for this? His final three seasons in high school, he had 171 tackles. He had 48 for losses. He had 25 sacks. He had 4 deflections, 3 forced fumbles, 7 fumble recoveries, 40 quarterback hurries, and a safety. Meanwhile, he also played offense, and he ran for 1,342 yards and 18 touchdowns. Then he caught 26 passes for 500 yards. Oh, by the way, he was also the kick returner on the team.
And that was in spring practice. That was the spring game he did all that, Joe. I mean, Jimmy, that's why Jimmy won all those Super Bowls and those national championships. But how do people on the East Coast even know about Orion McCullough from California, from Duarte, California? And you look at it, you go, he's 6'3", 245, but he looks like he's ready for the NFL today. And he'll probably end up being a three-year player there. So, as tough as last week was and how fortunate we were to come out of that with a victory, this is a bigger challenge. And it's got nothing to do with the travel. It's got nothing to do with the kickoff. It's got to do with they have got a well-coached football team that is as good as anybody there is. And listen, they were 4 points away from this being number 5-0 or 4-0 Cal Berkeley, or 5-0 Cal Berkeley, and Miami undefeated, two undefeated teams kicking off and game day being there. They were 4 points shy of that 2 weeks ago in Tallahassee.
Before we go, we got to get to the quarterback. His mom and dad might be listening for all we know. Fernando Mendoza, he's a Columbus High School quarterback. And I mentioned earlier, Brian Greasy was a Columbus High School quarterback. Mike Shula was a Columbus High School quarterback. I'm sure Larry Bluestein could add a few more in there. But Fernando Mendoza from Columbus was thinking about going to Yale. He's completed 67% of his passes. He does have an uncanny ability to find an open target, especially on third down.
You know, what he does is he manages, and this is a compliment. This is not a detriment. He manages the offense. He's a big kid at 6'5". He can make all the throws. He's fortunately for him, he's got some good size at his receiver spot. There's the guy Starling at 6'4". He's got a running game. Before injury, Ott was considered really one of the best running backs in the conference. And they do a good job for him. The tight end is sneaky good. He's a guy that's like a tweener in the sense of his size, and it's 6'2", but he plays like a wide receiver. He was a Maryland guy. So they've done a great job of surrounding Mendoza, and they don't put him in a position to fail. They put him in a position to succeed with a running game and intermediate passes, but there's not a throw that he can't make. And he's going to be one heck of a challenge for the Miami defense.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun. I hope it's going to be a fun night. Otherwise, it's going to be a long flight home. I don't want that. So hopefully, the Hurricanes put an A game together. Missed a lot of tackles on defense. Run defense kind of got shredded by Virginia Tech, but so it's trending toward Reuben Bain coming back. That could be a real positive, and hopefully get back to playing the kind of run defense that they played prior to Virginia Tech, because this Cal team is going to want to run the football and get into their bootleg and play action game and all that stuff. At any rate, enjoy your trip to California, and I'll see you out there on, I guess, Thursday or Friday.
Yes, you will. I will see you there, Joseph, and have a safe trip, and go Canes.
All right, that's Don Bailey Jr. with us. When we come back, Xavier Restrepo and Elijah Arroyo will join us coming up next.
Football coverage on WQAM is sponsored by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro.
Football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws a block, and his teammate scores instead. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get...
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.